weeks ago, we're still doing the series, continuing the series on the generation. So how about we just pack this these two sides? Okay, how about we pack this side so it's easier for us to view what's coming up on the slide. Come, people from... So we took a break last week, being Resurrection Sunday. And so we'll continue this teaching series on the generation. And prayerfully, there will be breakthrough in every generation. Amen? So 2 weeks ago, I was in the fashion of 1930s, and that's what my grandmother looked like when she was a little girl. So I actually shaved my eyebrow, if you do not notice, 2 weeks ago, to very thin eyebrow, which was the fashion then, because it was just after the war, and it was also the depression time, and so everything was scaled down, including their makeup. Interesting, right? So the makeup in the 1930s, 1940s, they were very light. Eyebrows were very thin. They shave it as thin as possible. So in the last 2 weeks, I've grown my eyebrow for today. And their lips, everything is lightened down. But even their lips, they have very thin lips. So they draw their lips very thinly. But still, they go for bright pink or orange then. And today, I'm 40 years after. This is 1970s. This is my mom's engagement dress. She wore this in 1970. So it has some sleeve, apparently, according to her, but she didn't like it, so she took it off. And she altered it a little bit smaller so that I can fit into it. So I've been wearing this since 11. The first time I wore this was I went for a concert when I was 11 years old. And then after that, I just kept the dress. My mom said, you can keep it for the rest of your life. I said, very good, thank you, because I know that I will use it. So I've been using it every time there's a vintage need for it. So this is 1970, and everything is good. It's after the war. Economic has picked up. Everything else is getting better. So eyebrow is thicker. You can afford to put a little bit more makeup, but... 70s look is actually back right now. They have dreamy eyes. They have dark eyes. They have really dark eyeliner. But I will look very, how to say, very young. Very, very, very fierce. I don't know. How do you say young? If I put really dark, so this is the darkest I think it would be suffice for today. And shimmer. And they have thick lips, so they draw the lip line outside their lip to create a thicker look. And it's a bolder look compared to 1930s, the silent generation. And the dresses are a little bit higher than, it's just above knee. And some, they have the hippies look. Welcome to the boomers. Where's your bell bottom? So the guys will have their bell-bottom, their colorful, bell-bottom. You don't know what's bell-bottom. Thin here and then flare there, flare right at the end. I'm sure it will come back. Fashion, there's nothing new about fashion. It always recycles after a while. So when, at last church, the youth were wearing that fashion then, and that was probably the early 2000s, and they thought it was new. I said, I have got that at home too. They're like, huh, how come you got that at home? I said, because this is fashion recycle. It's nothing new. It just come back after a while. So 70s makeup is actually back. If you look it up, it's actually back. 70s top, if you go to Top Man, if you go to Zara, they all have all the Lucy, how do you say? I forgot the name. The sleeve is fluffy, big. So if you adorn the 70s fashion, you're not going to look actually weird because it's usually the fabric. But this one, it's just the extreme because it was my mom's engagement dress. Okay? Right. And they have big earrings, very bold. It's those in the hippies. So today, I hope you remember what we talk about. What is the generational gap and phases that we talk about? And we talk about from the silent generation. And I'm so proud to say that actually, my grandfather actually knew someone before. No, he's from the silent generation. Or is it before? My paternal grandfather, he's from the greater generation. He was born 1895. Yeah, 1895. My dad's dad, 1895. And so when I look back, I remember how my interaction with my grandpa was. And just yesterday, I read an article of a Jamaican lady. She's a Christian. She's 117 years old. This year, she was born 1900. Ikao Kong Kong. We always say that, right? 19 Kong Kong. Like so long ago. She is fit, she is strong, and she attributes her health and her long life to the scripture God says that if you worship me, you will have long life. And she says she served in the same church for 80 years. She'll read about her. I forgot her name. She's a Jamaican lady. And her son is 97. Her eldest son is 97. Same category we say, Lao Lang. It's still your son and you is in the same category. 97 and she's 117. She says, my diet do not consist of pork. Says, I don't eat chicken, I don't eat pork, I eat vegetables, and I do eat beef, I do eat mutton. Good news, I still got meat, lah. But go read. Go and Google, I'm sure she's up. So she said that it is God, you know, it's all about serving Him and staying alive because God is the one who sustained her. Now, today we are going to touch on the boomers. And I know that we only have today, probably my dad officially comes under the boomers. Not sure about Millie. Are you a boomer? Son? Is your mom boomer or Gen X? Gen X. Okay. So there's only one official baby boomer in our midst. Now, baby boomers, who are they? They are those people who were born in the 1946 to 1964. So like I say, my dad is right the first year, 1946 to 1964. So there was a boom, so-called, of births after World War II. So that's why they are called the boomers. So those days, families have many children. Even in my dad's family, there were five of them, and my dad was the middle child. So five was just a norm then. So you have five, you have eight, you have 10, you have 12. My mother-in-law have, including her, 12. So every Chinese New Year, when I go back to Ipoh, I have 11 others, uncle and aunties, plus their spouses and their children. You can imagine how laojua it is, huh? How noisy. It's always noisy. You know, praise God that one of the uncle, he has a big bungalow where we can meet, everybody just meet at one place, but there'll be so many living rooms and we have to just like, you can't just talk to everybody. Every Chinese New Year, you don't have chance to talk to everybody. So these were the baby boomers generation. Right. So what are the things globally, the events, the occurrences, situation that have impacted people who were born in this era? Now you can see it. This is just the United States, you know. It's not even the whole world. Now the births that underlie each generation. You see, in the silent generation, the total birth, according to this chart, is 47 million in the U.S. alone. And then when we came to the boomer, it was 76 million. Almost double. And then you see in Gen X, there is a drop again, 55 million. And then millennial and post-millennial. So millennial will be Y and post-millennial will be Z and Alpha. And so on. So that's why they are called the boomers, because that time there were just booms in births. So what are the events that actually shape this group of people? Next. If you remember what I said last 2 weeks ago, the different invention in the world has impacted the growth of each generation. The boomers were largely impacted by television. We talk about the invention of television, but this is the most influential gadget that shaped the boomers by what they see, what they view on TV then. So before that, their parents, they do not have TV. And so they do not see a lot of things that this generation actually view. And then, of course, it's Vietnam War. And then there's the first man who went to the moon. Wow. Success. A breakthrough in mankind. And then there's assassination of Kennedy. Now that event, the killing of Kennedy, that event itself affected the respect for people, affected and created suspicion of authority. And then you have the early invention of computers. So computers impacted the job of boomers when they came out of age. Remember we say come out of age means you are ready to enter the workforce. So you are in the late teens to your 20s. That's when we say you are of age or out of age. So they enter the workforce. So people like Bill Gates and Paul Allen, they are co-founders of Microsoft. In the 50s, they saw the potential of a personal computer. They wanted a computer to enter every household. And 2 weeks ago, if you remember, if you have notes, refer to it. I don't have time to go through that. We talk about how long it takes for every invention to break into the threshold of 50 million people or 50 million households in the U.S. Remember? From radio to TV to computer to handphone to Facebook. And it took Facebook only 2 years. And radio it took 38 years. So how do these people then function? How do the boomers function? Now, this group of people, they are unlike their fathers and mothers in a silent generation. This group of people, because they are impacted by all this event and the invention of television and computers, they suddenly accelerated in the way they work, in the way they present. And so these people, next, they are individualistic, they are dominant, and they master everything they touch. They are very, they are people who has expertise. And they are no longer so neighborly like the fathers used to be. They fear powerlessness and they are concerned primarily with their own comfort and powers. Go on. They have been characterized as a me generation. Because suddenly what they watch on TV, suddenly with invention of computer, there is the change of behavior in people born in this era. Because their idea of success is including getting more wealth, attaining better stuff in life, wanting to be happy, wanting to create what is good for themselves. So that's why it's called the me generation. And they favor change if only it promotes their goal. If only it is good for them. And so they evaluate situation and issue by considering, hey, what is this outcome for me? What is it has for me? Right? Remember the silent generation was a very, they are not risk takers and they are faithful. They stay on a job for 30 years. They go to the same church all their life. They serve without complaining. And they just do. They are just obedient group of people. But the next generation, the boomer, is just opposite. And education suddenly become very important in this generation. And so they consider education to be like the open doors to many advances in life. And they desire to be in authority. Boomers will battle for progress because they want everything cutting edge. They are people of leadership quality, and they are very, if they look to a leader, they want to work with a leader that is a driving leader. Understand? That will encourage dynamic leader. They look to dynamic leadership. They want leaders who can encourage them, push them, drive them, motivate them, mobilize them to their goals. And this group of people, you can't tell them, hey, it's time to retire. Because they do not like the word retirement. Retirement is a negative connotation to the boomers. They say, I retire. I do not retire. Think of the people who happen to be in this group but do not stereotype. Like I say, this is just a global view, but we have to have unique individuals around. This is the most educated generation, and they tend to be activists. So you will hear words like they are challengers. They are no longer the obedient, faithful, silent generation, but these people challenge the status quo. They do not like status quo. Their interpersonal relationship tend to be weaker. They are unlike their forefathers. They are weaker in interpersonal relationship. But still, they still favor relationship. They still favor people rather than program. Now, the worship style that the boomers favor will be a celebrative one. Unlike silent generation, is very a quiet, solemn, more reverent presentation of worship. But the boomers prefer a celebrative way of worshiping God. And if you think about music, during the boomers' time, it's very hip, right? You have the rock and roll. And so it's a very fast-paced generation. Boomers are spiritually searching generation. They are not like the silent generation who just take in everything and be obedient. Agree, don't agree, also they take it in. But boomers, they search out what does it really mean to be spiritual. So religion takes a slightly different feel. Boomers do not see themselves to be bound. Now, there are many, many facts that you can Google and read up. There are tons and tons of it. And there's no way that I can give you everything. Now, everything I extract out are all a combination of different articles that came out. Some are Christian articles, some are not. And words are used. Some are used repeatedly, like you will see challenger. These kind of words will appear again and again. And so if you Google and read, you will have a lot of similar outcome, whether they are written by Christians, churches, organizations, or companies, or secular, but you will see a trend. So whatever I'm giving you is not, I go think it up. It's all pulled out from books, articles, and internet. So it's just a combination of what has been repeatedly said for the different generation. Now, this generation, like I say, they do not like status quo. They do not follow rules like the silent generation, but rather they will make their own rules. So they are not the people who quai-quai play by rules. They will make their own rules. They want to redefine how things will go. And even up till, so if you think of boomers, how old should they be now? Do your math. So the oldest boomer, I already give you 101 times through the week. The oldest boomer is 1946. My dad is 71 this year. So the oldest boomer will be 71. But the youngest?
Fifty.
So within this group of people, you know that they are an aging group. So they are about the mid-50s up to 71. But even in this aging process, they want to rebel. You're very sleepy, is it? I thought I'm sleepy. I have to wake, like, make myself wake up for today. I said, God, I just have to wake up for service. Wake up as in be alert. This guy, he's a gerontologist. His name is Ken Dichwall. He says that boomers reinvent old age and they will age rebelliously. So do expect boomers that you work with, boomers who are your parents, boomers who are your uncle and aunties, and I can't say much boomers in the church because there's only one, and my dad, somehow, his traits are a little bit more silent generation. So, apart from the Beatles, Cliff Richard, Elvis Presley, the rock and roll, I think other traits is more to silent generation. So these guys, they do not present themselves like you would expect the silent generation. They think differently because they are more educated and because of all the invention that already shaped them. So they are different. And, please do not call them old because they do not like to be stereotyped as old people. Right? How many uncles and aunties come to you and say, "Ayo, don't call me auntie la." Then we're like, then call you what? Huh? So these people, they are offended if you make them seem old. And so they expire a lot of fun, adventure, and even in fashion. You know, you go to the mall these days, huh? You just walk around and see. Last week, we were having dim sum with the boiler team. Not sure if y'all noticed, but Krista looked at me and she just smiled. And I said, I know what you do. Because there was this lady. You can see she's old, but she dressed like a teenager and walked in with a heavy load of makeup that's like totally off. And then in my head, I'm like, God, forgive me. I do not want to be judgy, you know, like, forgive me. It's like so hard, like, it's just misplaced. It's just misplaced, you know. It's like everything is just misplaced. And then my daughter looked at me like, I said, why are you laughing? She's like, so she was just trying so hard not to react, you know. So they don't like to be stereotyped. People in the boomers generation, they like to be 10 to 15 years younger than they actually are. So if they are 55, they would prefer you think that they're 35, right? And not, that's why they hate to be called uncle and auntie. They dislike to be labeled senior citizen, old people, retired ones, age. So anything that you portray them as old and frail and obsolete and redundant, it's a taboo to the boomers. So be careful when you talk to boomers, when you handle boomers, okay? And so they also want to be unique. And so they like anything that makes them feel, hey, this is challenging, this is adventurous, this is good, you know. And so when you have things that appeal to them, it will be things like make them feel youthful, make them feel healthy and vibrant, worthy of their time, worthy of their adventure, worthy of what they put in, the money, the energy, including church ministry. So if we are going to reach out to boomers outside, we need boomers to come in. Because actually, boomers make up a huge percentage of a healthy church. And so that's why I say in our church, we tip at one side because we are filled with the millennials. We are filled with Gen Y. And so we tip because we lack the more mature counterpart to build a healthy church. And it is our prayer that there will be more boomers and more Gen X to come into the church to balance our scale. So these people are also people who are willing to pump in their finances, pump in their time if you see something that is worthy of the cause. Boomers are people who will continue to accelerate in whatever they do. Like I say, they do not like to retire yet. Okay? And so they will accelerate in every way they can. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's at home. Boomers are people who have the capacity to buy. So they'll be thinking of vacation. Think of your parents, maybe grandparents. They have the power to go for vacation. They have the power to make another country their second home. They have the power to still command in the workforce because they will be the people who sits in the top rank. These are the boomers. And I have so many millennial Gen Ys who tell me it's so difficult to work with boomers. And it is a fact that we have to face. If you go and Google and read up the book that I showed y'all many weeks ago, 2020 Workplace, the biggest clash in all generation is the boomers and the millennials. And generally, the boomers are the people who produce the Gen Y. So that's why you see a lot of tension and fight within the homes and also going out to the workplace. And if we talk about ministry, including church ministry, just that because we don't have boomers here. So these are the people who have a lot of clash with the young generation called the Gen Y. So boomers are people who not just continue to accelerate in whatever they do, but they also search out, who is God? What is God? What is spiritual? What does it really mean to be spiritual? So they continue to search that meaning of their spirituality, not just being religious, coming faithfully into a church. All right? So there's three categories of boomers. You have the early boomers. They are called the patriots. Now, early boomers are those born towards the beginning, like my dad, beginning of 1946. So they are still very close to the World War II experience, and they didn't question much the need of serving and being obedient and being faithful. So their traits are very, very similar to Silent Generation. And then coming to the middle boomers, they are the protesters, who came a little later, and they are different. They are different from early boomers because this was the anti-war, the free love, free drugs, rock and roll time. And instead of standing to be enlisted, boomers, they will turn on, they will tune out, they will drop out. And then you have the late boomers. The late boomers are the pragmatists who exist towards the end, coming to 1960s. So these are the people who are extremely engaging in the intellectual activities. And so this group of people will continue to be all over in our life. So the later boomers are the one who sits in your workplace, who sits in your university, who sits in your home. They are probably the later boomers who are very eloquent, who are still very active and vibrant. So these ones, so there are three categories. But what actually are their needs and expectations? Now, although they are aging, and we talk about the aging process in the Silent Generation and how we need to honor the Silent Generation, there are similarities, but yet there are differences in the boomers. Now, we need to be compassionate towards the boomers. The Word of God in Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. When I talk to a lot of millennials, they say, I just cannot stand all these boomers at work. It's so hard to work with my bosses, my superior. I have millennials who say, my parents just give me headache. And it was very interesting. I read one article. It was a joint writing. The father, who was a boomer, wrote about what he wants to tell the millennial. And the daughter, who is a millennial, wrote what she wants to tell to the boomers. So there's this ongoing clash wherever you go. But my constant challenge to young people is, older people is harder to change. Not that you don't change. Not that you say, I'm old, so I won't change. No, but whether we like it or not, that's why the Malay proverb say, kalau nak melento ao, biarlah waktu rebongnya. Right? Means if you want to bend a bamboo, you need to bend it when it's young. So whether we like it or not, the young generation, you need to be extra forgiving, extra kind, extra compassionate to the older one. Oh, I hear, yes. So you see, because older people are more set in their ways. And sometimes even if they want to change, they find it a real struggle because they are set. But is it impossible? No. With God, all things are possible. So we also want to have a breakthrough in their thinking, in the breakthrough of their behavior. But on the other hand, I always tell the young people, then the more we claim we are young, then the more we should be more pliable, we should be more fluid, and therefore we should exercise more kindness, more compassion, more forgiveness, because God first forgave us. It's easy to talk to Christians, because you can bring out Christian principle. But just like we say, the social transformation can only happen when the church is transformed. So if we want to see social change outside, we want to see global change outside, if we want to see breakthrough outside, then something must happen within the church of God. That means to say that no matter what people say about the young generation of the church of God must rise up to be the light outside. So something must happen. Now, 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you, not one, not two, all means all, right? All, every generation, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So what does 1 Peter ask us to do? Be like-minded, sympathetic. What is sympathetic? Means you feel for the other person, right? So you say how to feel. If you want to say whatever you want to say about the older generation, you still have to give a thought to the struggle. Like when I bring up silent generation, we have to not just sympathize, but I suppose we can't empathize because we don't really know how it is to live in those days. But to sympathize that they need to adjust so much to the massive global rapid changes through the generation. Imagine the lady I just cited just now. She's 117 years old. That means she has lived through World War I. She has lived through World War II. And we were just discussing she probably will see World War III. We don't know. But she's lived through World War I. She's lived through World War II. And all the things that happen in between, all the invention of all the gadgets and social media, they came in that robbed the simplicity of life. You know, those days life was simple. Don't need to say 1900 when she was born. 40 years ago, when I was a little child, after dinner, my job is to bring a rice tin, you know, the condensed milk tin. So people those days do not have a plastic cup to scoop their rice and wash. So all household, as far as I know, use a condensed milk tin because nobody then in my area, my community, drink formula milk. They either drink mom's milk or they drink condensed milk. diluted condensed milk. Okay, there's no nutrition at all. When they keep all this tin, my mom has one rusty tin at home still. That's why I was two. I was telling my sibling, don't throw away this like precious antique I'm going to put in my house next time. She used that to scoop her rice. Until the day she died, she don't use the plastic cup because she doesn't know how to measure with the plastic cup. So we grew up all our life using that rusty condensed milk tin. So my job as a little girl 40 years ago is to take that tin after dinner, and dinner is served early. Between 5:30 to 6, we have our dinner. I know Americans, Australians still do that. Don't know what happened to Malaysian. We're so late now. When I got married to Edward, I was suffering because my dinner is 6. And his dinner at home is 9. It's 3 hours different. 9 is my supper time already, you know. And then I look at him like, you know, so very different. So I took that little tin, and my job was to come out to the stone bench. You know that Aslan, that show, you have a stone bench. But this one is just like one narrow slab of stone bench that's outside our house in the heart of the city called Prangin Lane. So if you Google, you can find Prangin Lane. The house is still there, but nobody that I know live there anymore. And so my job is, because it's so hot, so I have to scoop water and then pour over the slab of stone to do what? To cool it down for all the aunties in my house to come out and sit. Because we were so poor then, the house has many families. I can't remember how many families this particular house that my dad grew up in have. But the house that I stayed in, the next road, we have 20 over families in a pre-war house. There's 20 over room. Don't need to go to Sarawak to experience long house. That was long house in the heart of Penang. So out of the 20 over families, we occupy one little room. Everything you do, you eat, you sleep, you poop, you do your homework, you do everything within that room. And so after the slab is cool, I will go in and tell my mom, it's ready for all the aunties and you to sit. And so the ladies would just come out, sit around, and then they would just chat their evening away while the children just play. Every night play the same thing. Chichi chong, hide and seek, kali toy. Life was just so simple. It's so simple. I look back and I suddenly felt like, wow, it's changed so much in the last 40 years. And worse still, I think in the last 10 years, it just accelerated. It just accelerated. Things just accelerate. And so to think that if I live in 1900 until now, I would have really have to grapple with the loss of simplicity, the loss of trust. You know what I mean? I was telling my kids, we don't pay cash those days. When we go to the sundry shop and buy things, a lot of aunties and uncles just bring their little 555 book. You know? You don't know. That little booklet. And they say, oh, today you take one pack of flour and one pack of charcoal, one bottle of oil, 10 eggs. And then write everything down. Then you just write, you keep writing until end of the month, and then you pay them. That's trust. Who will let you do that now? Who will let you take your grocery and go without paying? And suddenly it just dawned on me, yeah, credit card lah. You'll say credit card, but they won't got interest. This sundry shop got no interest. And then the milkman come, fresh milk. Fresh milk. The Indian milkman come with the golden tub. And you recycle. You don't have to worry about recycling your stuff. You just give back the old bottles. Wash, give it back, tomorrow it comes to you again. And suddenly it dawned on me that that's all gone. It's all gone. That simple way of life. And then by 8 o'clock, it's dark. The soybean man come in the in that push cart. And soybean milk is 10 cents. And every night we have fresh soybean milk, 10 cents. After drinking that soybean milk, the bread man comes and buy that loaf of bread. wrapped in a wax paper, not plastic, or roti bengali, and go home and sleep. That was life. Why do we walk around life now in our road? Just last week, few days ago, outside Gurney, I was waiting for Ashlyn. And this crazy man just teasing people when people walk around. One of my daughters asked me, why is it there's so many crazy people nowadays? Stress. We are living in a highly intensive stress society. We don't sit down and chat our night like those days that I talk about and go home and sleep early. We work so hard. Even though we don't have work, we are still locked into computer. We are locked on social media. We always have something to do. There is no longer the simple word called rest. So life is so different. And that's why we have so many mentally ill people walking around because of stress. And so we need to understand that while we think that in the young generation that we have to so-called give in to the older generation, we have to be sympathetic to feel their losses. Their losses over the decades. Even for me, I feel it already. So I was telling my girls, I feel so old suddenly thinking back. I feel that losses, that simplicity of life. Have you all watched this show called Once Upon a Time by Singapore TV? Long, long time ago. It's a Singaporean production. It's a movie. You like it? I really enjoy it because I just could identify that long, long time ago. That's just before, although I didn't live that long, it was 1960s. I think they showed from before Singapore gained independence from Malaysia and how Singapore changed. And this auntie, like, want to go home to Malaysia, have to use passport. You're like, suddenly have to use passport, you know, and how life changed. But for me was feeling that elation when they got their first TV. Wow, the whole kampong gather at night, every night, watch that TV. Because only one family in the whole kampong have one TV. So suddenly they're sitting around and talking no more. Suddenly that simple family, neighbor conversation, no more. Because of what? The TV. The TV, they got TV. They got so excited. So the whole village gather in the home of this particular person who got a TV. And everybody just hook on the TV every night. And then I saw this table fan, KDK. Wow, like museum kind. Suddenly I felt like, whoa, I had that in my room. And if we have fan in our room, we have to pay extra $5 every month to our landlord. So if you're poor, you do not fix a table fan because you're charged extra $5. Those were the days. Go and watch long, long time ago. And you appreciate what you have now and think that you stop complaining about what you don't have now. And then, so looking at this, just these two verses, we have to remember that the boomers are people who need fun and adventure. Next slide. They are people who need fun and adventure. They are unlike the silent generation who are not risk takers. These people who challenge status quo, you have to remember that although they seem like they're aging, although they seem old to you, although they are like aunties and uncle, although you think they can't anymore, but they still look for fun and adventure, whether it's within the home, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's church ministry. Number two, you have to respect them because they are still significant and they want to feel they are significant. Like I say, the biggest clash between the generations are the boomers and the Gen Y. And so if you happen to fall into the young generation called Gen Y or the millennials, I can't help but to bring up the millennials because this is the biggest clash, these two generations. You've got to restrain from judging them of their incompetence, especially when it comes to technology. Because first, you've got to remember to learn from their experiences. And don't pass insensitive comments, you know. It's so prevalent everywhere you go. If a boomer asks the son or the daughter, I mentioned it last week too, don't tell them, "Ayo, so easy only, so you don't know how many times I must tell you, mom." Don't be insensitive to that. Something which you grapple with easily, naturally, because you're born in this generation, you got to remember they are not born in the same generation that you are. And so, you have to remember the boomers are people who, with all those characteristics that we listed earlier, you just prick their ego. You just pull out their fear. You just arouse their anger towards social change. Because they were activists. They were the most educated. They were the rebels in that time. And suddenly you come and tell them that, hey, you're useless. So with that in mind, we're going to be very sensitive when we talk to the boomers. Don't tell them, hey, you're outdated. We don't do this anymore. So especially if you work in an office where you have surrounded by boomers or bosses are boomers or colleagues are boomers, don't tell them you're outdated. We don't do this way. We don't use this method. But I think it's not so much of how or what you want to say to them, but how. As Gen Y, how you want to say to them, you got to say with respect. You got to say it in at the back of mind, knowing that, hello, they are more experienced than you. Okay? They have gone through a lot in life. They have come a long way. And you got to give them that allowance. So instead, you got to encourage them to cooperate, to embrace this ongoing change in the work trend. That even though there are technology that has been introduced in the workplace, the way you key in things are not the way they key in things, you know. But we have to be tolerant. We have to be tolerant with them. And you must bear in mind, they are not as tolerant as the silent generation. So you could say to your ama and akong, who is in silent generation, and say, "Ayo, how many times I tell you, ama, akong, why you still do like that?" They'll probably just smile and laugh at you. That's my grand. That's my father-in-law. He'll just smile and say, because they admit that they just can't keep up, you know. But if you say that to a boomer, especially the later boomer, they are going to be very mad at you. So you got to be careful to pick your fight with boomers. Because boomers, they are rebels too. So if you want to fight them, they probably can fight you better. And that's why you always lose your battle at home with your parents. A lot of y'all have boomer parents, right? So remember that they are not obsolete. Remember that they are not lame. My mom always tell me, respect the old people. Respect them. Honor them. Because one day you will grow old. I have a soft spot for old people. And I agree with that statement. It's something that I hold on to. And it's something that I tell all millennials when they come to me and say, "I can't tahan this fella. I can't tahan my boss. I can't tahan my managers. I can't tahan this church leader. I can't tahan my mom, my dad." I say, while you cannot tahan them, you got to think that one day you too will grow old. Perhaps you could be viewed as obsolete. And the young generation will look at you and think that you're obsolete, redundant, and lame as well. So it's a biblical principle. What you sow, you will reap. So even though you cannot tahan, you got to ask God for grace and mercy and kindness to help us be tolerant towards these people. And the young ones, you may have the technology speed, right? It is said that Gen Y can scan information 10 pages in 10 minutes. True or not? True. I believe so. I see the way y'all type also, like, I still very kagum, you know, like the way y'all go. Of course, a lot of my Gen X friends are very fast too, but I'm a unique case, like I say, I have no special special passion for computers and technology. I still very old school. But even though you have that kind of technology speed, but you must remember that you lack analytical skill, wisdom, and the analytical eye that the boomers have. You can just speed read through your 10-minute scanning of 10 pages online, but you got to remember that the boomers were the most educated in their time, and they are the people who will plow through books upon books on the shelves in the library to write a research paper. And that does something to their mind. They become analytical. Agree? People nowadays cannot focus long. We can't focus long because we need not just, we can scan pages, but a lot of time we are so accustomed to fast moving images that to a Gen Y, 4 minutes video is far too long. Who watch a 4 minutes video? Correct or not? You are. Once upon a time, not too long ago, one of my friend's girl says, "Mom, who watch a 4 minutes video?" No, those video clips are. So everything is fast. So we have to give and think that these are the people who have accustomed to deep thinking and they can analyze things that we young generation lack. So we got to give and take. That while you can be very fast technologically, but when it comes to the real stuff, we still have to learn from the older generation. Next, they need a continuous education. They need programs to keep up to that will grow them, that will improve them, that will make them better people. Whether it's in the work, don't say, "Ayo, you already, no need to attend all these seminars and conferences. Ayo, you better don't say that to them, you know. Because the boomers still want to grow. And you got to remember they will stick around for a while. Because they're not going to retire yet. Many boomers will still be working in the next 10, 20 years. Because people retire later and later. So don't think that they have stopped growing. They still want to grow. And these are educated people. Like I said, they're not the silent generation. These people have good education and they have good work ethics. And so they still want to grow, whether in church ministries, whether in work. They still want to improve themselves. And so if we look at the Christian aspect, these are the people, if we have them, we need to grow them spiritually. The spiritual formation is still a very important part for the boomers. We need to engage them with purposeful, meaningful conversation, which a lot of boomers complain that the millennials cannot carry a conversation, a meaningful conversation. True or not? I say globally. I'm not saying isolated case. I'm saying generally. And I must agree to that statement that most millennial cannot carry a face up front, look into the eye, meaningful conversation. Because you're so used to social media and talking through WhatsApp, social media, online. So many people that can talk to me long conversation if I talk to them on WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. When I meet them face to face, they cannot look me into the eye. They cannot carry a conversation. Why? It's the problem of post-modernization. My friends, my peers, they themselves say they have children, teenagers, late teenagers, early 20s. They say they are so good in communicating through Facebook and all sorts of social media and WhatsApp all the time. That's why they are called hyperconnected. But they refuse to come out when she's out meeting friends. The children say, "Sorry, mom, I don't know how to talk." The mom say, how come you can talk so long, eh? On the phone, you can talk so long on your WhatsApp, you can talk so long on your Facebook, you cannot talk when you come out with my friends? It's a genuine problem that we need as a church to learn to communicate in a deep level, because God craves for our intimacy. God longs for that intimacy. And God wants the church fellowship to be deep and intimate, meaningful conversation. Not hi, bye. You okay? One word. Close sentence. That's it. Go home. That is not the fellowship of God's people. So if we are talking about making a difference in our city, our society, our country, and beyond, then something must happen within the fellowship of Christ's body before we make an impact outside. So, young people, we need to learn to talk. Like Pastor had said, if a boomer walks in, if a silent generation walks in, never come into our church, what do you guys do? Because we've been observing, we have visitors, right? We have been observing. Most of us, I don't say not one, but I say most of us do not approach an older person and talk meaningfully. A few of you, yes. I won't mention your name and make you fly up. But a few of you young people, yes, I must applaud that you are very good in talking to all generation. And that's what we want within the church. And if we are going to reach out to a world who needs to know God, then when people walk in, we can't say we are the young generation. We don't know how to talk to these old people. Number one, don't call them old, right? So we need to learn to engage. We need to learn to be interested in them. They need to be valued. They need to feel value. They need to be worthy. They need to feel the worth for their spiritual insight, for their contribution, for their need to continue to grow. Because these people crave for deep teaching and meaningful conversation. Now, before I... So we're just going to go on to a word to the boomers, but I'm going to share it in such a way that you think, because we don't have boomers exactly here except my dad, but we're going to think, how can we take this and apply it in our home, our workplace, or wherever you are that you will meet boomers? How do you encourage them? How do you empower this generation? Looking at what I'm going to share, the word to these boomers, and taking that in and say, hey, with this, how can I pray for them? If you do not know how to talk, pray. Yes? In a boiler, we have been learning all sorts of prayer, and we are still praying for the generations. We are praying for a breakthrough. And we're excited. In a boiler, we do sense the different one, that God is doing something in our generations. God is doing something in the church, and the church must really get hold of it, what God is doing. One, contentment is godliness. Because boomers are people who chase after wealth. Boomers are people who value education, and they really push themselves, and they push their children, because education is everything. And some of you millennials, because you behave very differently, will come to millennial in 2 weeks' time. And that's why you clash with parents who are boomers, because boomer parents says education is the way. But millennials don't think so. And that's why you clash. So boomers need to be contented, because God says contentment is godliness. So we have to pray. Pray that boomers do not fall in a trap of materialism and prosperity. Now 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 11, let's look at that. It says that, 1 Timothy, yeah. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it. Boomers need to remember that. That no matter whatever success they chase, they're not going to take it into their coffin. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge the earth into ruin and destruction. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content. You see, that is the curse of post-modernization. Are we contented with just food and clothing? Are we contented with our daily provision and manna? No. We talk about how much we should hoard up before we can retire. And a big percentage of these people falls into the boomers. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. But you, men of God, flee from all these and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So if you come from families who your parents are Christians but have fallen short, do not judge them. If you have parents or bosses who are not Christians and they are boomers, pray. Pray that the spirit of contentment will just flood them. Pray that instead of pursuing all this earthly temptation and fall into the trap of prosperity and temptation, they should be pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Okay? And Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn to that, but you can listen to me. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says, "And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is that he giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto my fathers, as it is this is the day." So Deuteronomy remind us as boomers that God is the one who established wealth. God is the one who gives us that covenant. And so we cannot claim that it is my hand. And so a lot of boomers think that it is because I work so hard. It is me. It is my hand. It is me that works so hard. I deserve all of this. So pray that your contact with the boomers, there will be people who yet to know Christ to come to the point of recognizing that wealth, success comes from the Lord Almighty, our Creator. If you look into the secular world, the marketing strategy is aimed, one, at young parents, the millennials. You'll do anything for your children. Okay, we'll come to that. Just a snapshot. Because Gen Y parents are called the helicopter parents. You know the propeller? Means you go just hugging everything about your kids. Oh! You just look at Facebook. Just look at Facebook. Always putting up. Who are these people? The millennial parents. That's why they are called the helicopter parents. So if you're a millennial, forbid yourself to be helicopter parents. But this marketing strategy is also aimed at the boomers because they are the power consumer. If you read marketing papers and business books, they know how to get the boomers because they have the capacity to buy. These are the people who are successful. They have the buying power. So in this new millennium, they target boomers because these are the ones who can buy. James 4:13-15 says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, wherever ye know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor." We forget. Boomers forget that we're just a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Secondly, be compassionate and understanding is the same. Just as people need to be compassionate and understanding to the boomers, likewise the boomers need this too towards others, especially the young ones, because boomers complain all the time too about the millennial. Just as the millennial complain about the boomers, they complain about the millennial. And so for people like this, we need to pray for them not to hold on to the reins, whether in the office or at home, not to hold on to the reins so tightly, but even in this changing season in their life, to continue to learn, to continue to upgrade, but in doing so, to continue to let go. Let go. Let go of that control. Let go of that self-centeredness. It's something very hard for the boomers. And that's why there's so many clashes at home, so many clashes in the office, because boomers cannot let go. Boomers need to understand to be humble, because a lot of people fall into the trap of that power struggle. Someone just told me recently about the power struggle within the office, and this millennial said it's so hard because my bosses are just so difficult. You know, it's time for them to retire, these boomers. So boomers need to recognize, when is it time to back off and retire? When is it time to continue to upgrade, stand alongside the young ones and encourage them and walk with them and not control them and pull them back? Number four, they need to trust God, not their own strength. Because Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 say, do not rely on your own understanding, commit every way to God. We're supposed to trust Him to make it right, including making it right for the generation, the young generation that is under them or generations to come. Boomers need to let go and trust God to make things right for them and make things right for the young generation. And to learn to exercise, to release their control over people, including their own children, including how things needs to be done. As I'm preparing this, I'm just thinking of all the parents that we have worked with through the years of pastoring. Parents who fall into the boomers category, that one of the things that is very hard is they want their kids to succeed. They want their kids to be a man of God. They want their daughter to be there. But yet, they don't want to let go. Are you with me? So boomers need to learn to balance that. When do you release? When do you pull back? It's a very tricky act to release just enough for the young ones to grow, but to hold back just enough so that they don't fall into danger. But sometimes, many times, they need to fall, and then when they're painful, they will learn. Somehow, this is just human being, right? No pain, no gain. So we always say, hoi yang ki ya, hoi ki long pia. Long leo or tem, it's like, means go la, let them go and bang the wall and get some bruises and they will learn. But the difficult thing is, a lot of times, boomers can't let go. It's too painful to let go. Lastly, the boomers need to embrace the season and prepare for aging. Aging with grace. Whether we like it or not, we all age. Boomers need to age too, and they need to age gracefully. And boomers need to understand that aging is a beautiful process. It can be a beautiful process that you do not become grumpy old people, but you become people with grace and kindness. And I always tell people that do not be afraid of wrinkles, because wrinkles mark your character. Wrinkles mark the wisdom that you gain through life. I just watched a short video of a 61-year-old model. Have you all watched that one? I forgot her name. Very long one. Her name very long. Yeah, I can't remember. Her name very long. She's 61. She's really beautiful now, and she was really beautiful when she was young. So she was being interviewed. She says to her age doesn't exist. And what is beautiful comes out from inside, not what you put on your face and skin that makes you glow. And so although she's 61, she's so graceful. She's so beautiful. She's so graceful. You know, there are wrinkles, there are lines, there are facial lines everywhere on her face. But you look at her, you can see someone who is so full of life and vibrancy. And when you look at someone with wrinkles and still carrying that vibrancy and life, you know that the person is not worn out by the wear and tear of life, but they have become stronger. And that's where we want to pray, that even though this group of people, the boomers, refuse to admit they are getting older, not old, but getting older. We are all getting older, right? All of us are getting older. And so we have to remember the word of God in Ecclesiastes 3:1 that says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." I will not go into the details of Ecclesiastes 3. I actually want to read the entire portion. But go back and read the entire book, entire chapter of Ecclesiastes. It tells us that there is a time for every single thing. There is a season for every single thing. And God purposed that season in our life. So in conclusion, remember your season. Boomers, remember your season. And age gracefully and beautifully with the Lord. You know, even in this last lap, give it all your best. I was talking to a friend who is a boomer, who is a Christian. And he says that, "This is my last lap." He says, "Last lap. I do not know when God is going to call me home. And because it's my last lap, everything I do, my decision is very simple." And I draw that nugget of wisdom from him. Sometimes you don't know how to make a decision. Just think of this. Every decision I make in this season has to glorify God. That means every hour, every time, the time that I have, the days, my years, must be counted for Christ. Anything that I do with my time, with my money, every cent. Now, this is a rich man. Every cent that I have, I must put in for the expansion of his kingdom. If doesn't, check off. Just tick off. No need to think anymore. So it says, all my time, all my money, all my talent has to count for Jesus because I'm running the last lap. But again, it's a good nugget for us to carry home because we do not know when is our last day. We do not know. Maybe we don't have the last lap when we walk out of this place. Because we talk about death in the last season, death do not recognize age. Right? We can die anytime. So whether you are a boomer or not, remember your season. I close with this word. Remember your season. Whichever generation you come from, how do you relate to the boomers? How do you relate to other generation? Make sure it counts for Jesus. So as we receive wisdom from the boomers, we want to help them age gracefully. Smile at their successes. Don't condemn them when they tell you their stories. Serve with them. Serve alongside them. Work with unity with them. Because, simply because, they will still be around for some time. Whether at home, whether in church, whether in the workplace, you will still be facing the boomers. So why not make it the best? Why not collaborate? Why not unify so that we can glorify Jesus? Shall we rise? Father, we want to thank you that you are the God of all generation. And every week in these generational studies, we want to remember to embrace our season, to embrace it so well. We call upon you right now to minister your grace upon us. And we want to pray for all the boomers that we know as we stand in your presence. I'm going to invite Pastor Ed to come and pray for the boomers. So I'm going to ask my dad again to represent the boomers generation. I want us to think in relation to our relationship with the boomers around us, whether they are your parents, whether they are bosses, teachers. How do you relate to them? How do you bring them one step closer to Christ? How do you mend relationship that's gone not so good? But if it's good, how do you make it even better?
Would you stretch your hands out in proxy right now? For the boomers. And perhaps there are certain people that come to mind. Maybe your relatives, your parents, your bosses. And the Lord has given us a revelation that these generation, perhaps they function in a way that, like what Pastor Selena says, may clash with us. But let's pray for God's grace to come upon our lives and also upon each and every one of them, that together we will impact nations for Christ. Father, we want to pray for this generation right now. Lord, the boomers, Father, they represent our parents, grandparents, perhaps, our uncles, aunties, our colleagues, our bosses. Lord, we pray, Lord, that even as you have brought them into our lives, into our daily lives, Father, we ask for the grace, Lord, to be able to minister to them. So, Father, we want to surrender this generation into your hands. We ask, O God, that you would teach us how to connect with them. We also pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon each and every one of them. Lord, give them the grace. Give them the a contentment. Faith to arise in your hearts, Lord. And Lord, cause them to be seeking after your face daily. So we pray. Even right now, for the people that we have in our mind. The people that we come across daily. We release in Jesus' name your blessing upon each and every one of them. Amen. Father God, we pray for a release of your grace and your abundance upon each one of us right now. Lord, even as we study the generations, Father, we know, Lord, that you have put them in our lives. And sometimes, Father, it is so easy to just brush and say that we are different and just stick to ourselves. It is so easy, Lord, to stereotype. But Father, we ask, Lord, once again, that even as we part from this place, that your grace will be upon us, that you would teach us how together we can extend your kingdom. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.